This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win. Only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
Welcome to Speed City with John Massengill, Les Kaiser, and Jonathan Green. Presented by Mosing Motor Cars. It's the fastest hour on the radio, Speed City.
Happy New Year, gearheads. Welcome to 2018, first show of the new year. This is John Massengill sitting with Les Kaiser.
Absolutely. Happy New Year, everybody. Welcome back to Speed City.
Yeah, it's been interesting to have some time away from the studio.
Well, your luck has run out. I'm back.
Les is back in the studio. Jonathan Green is going to join us here in a few minutes. And, of course, he's going to be...
Where's Waldo?
Yeah, where's Waldo? Well, he's headed out to the Toyota Racing Series over in New Zealand. He's literally halfway there, or not even halfway. He's out in California, and we're going to grab him on the phone here in a few minutes. And speaking of the Toyota Racing Series, we've got a young gentleman who's going to join us here in just about a minute.
In other words, we're starting off where we left off.
Yeah.
We're starting up where we left off with the winner. Cameron Dawes.
Yeah.
It all started with electric go-karts.
Yeah. Well, we're going to have him on in just a minute, but we're also going to talk a little Formula One today because obviously with a few weeks off, a few things happen. We're going to talk about some of the hot topics that are going to be going on in Formula One. And of course, we're going to have Jeremy Shaw. Of course, we're going to cover the roar, which happened this weekend, getting ready for the 24 hours of Daytona.
Too.
Yep. The 24 hours of Daytona in 3 weeks. And Jeremy Shaw is out there, and he's going to call in just a few minutes, and we're going to get an update live from him. But Les, like you said, we're going to start off with Cameron Dawes.
Hey, right where we left off, back with Cameron. And, you know, folks recall, Cameron talked about starting off in electric karts. You know, here in our area, we've got K1 Speed. Cameron's neighborhood, the Autobahn Indoor Speedway. Happy New Year, Cameron. Welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
Okay. Hey, so you're packed up and probably ready to head to New Zealand, aren't you?
No.
Actually, I've been in New Zealand for the last 2 days, I think, yeah.
He's already there, man. He's already in New Zealand.
Awesome.
Yeah, so tell us what's going on over there so far. I mean, I this is your first time into the new Toyota Racing Series, and this has got to be super exciting for you.
Yeah, it's really exciting. I haven't had the chance to explore much of the country. I've just been resting and acclimating to this time zone. But so far, it looks like a really nice country, and everyone's so friendly. So I'm going to head to the track, actually, in a little bit, do a seat fitting, see the car for the first time, meet some of the team members and the other drivers. So it's gone well so far.
Well, just so everybody knows who you are, as an American, Cameron Dawes, and he has already a tremendous history. 17 years old. He's already won the inaugural season of the new Formula 4 United States Championship. And Cameron, at 17, this has just got to be blowing your mind over there in New Zealand, because some of the biggest names in racing have come through the Toyota Racing Series, and it's got to be just exciting for you.
Yeah, it is. I mean, certainly some illustrious names have come through here, and a lot of drivers really have their breakthrough after doing this series, so I'm hoping the same happens for me.
Yep, there you go. There's nothing but an entire country going to be watching you down there, because when we get Americans down in the Toyota Racing Series, we try to pay attention. And of course, you're going to have Mr. Jonathan Green, Mr. Toyota Racing Series himself. I don't know how many he's been to, Cameron, but he's on his way there right now, and he's going to be down there. So you can lean on him for any of the local cuisine or any other tips about the track down there as well.
Yeah, certainly.
Well, Cameron, let's talk about your aspirations, obviously, and how the Toyota Racing Series plays into that. Obviously, you've got high goals, you know, racing in open-wheel cars like this. And so how do you expect the Toyota Racing Series to play into those plans?
Well, I think the purpose of this trip to New Zealand is really to just gain experience, and if winning a championship and winning races is a byproduct of getting that experience, and that's great. But really, it's just an opportunity where you don't have to stress about what the end result of the championship is. It's just about getting as much seat time, as many races, being around a lot of other talented drivers who don't have any pressure either. And usually that yields the best learning experience.
Yeah, because Toyota Racing Series is one of those unique things in where you can get so much track time. And I know that's a big reason why every year we talk to young drivers who are going there, is that you get so much track time in such a short period of time and get so much experience. And I know that, so these cars are not the fastest around the track as compared to some of the higher horsepower cars, but the concepts are all still the same, and all the experience you get is obviously very relevant.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, we're condensing almost an entire season's worth of racing in 5 weeks. And to my benefit, it's running on the same Michelin tires that I'll be running in Euro Formula next year. So, that's going to be really, really helpful for next season.
Ooh, that is good. And by the way, that is a good point, that you squeeze an entire season. I mean, really, that's kind of the whole thing with the Toyota Racing Series, that you squeeze essentially an entire season into that 5 week span. But that's cool. I didn't realize it was the same tire as the F3 program.
Yeah, it'll be certainly a lot of tire testing, which normally, because there's a testing ban in Euroformula at this time of year, it's really helpful to come down here and have all that experience on these tires before I actually go back to the preseason testing in March.
Well, and, I'm just looking at the most recent winners of the Toyota Racing Series, 2017 Thomas Randall, and 2016 Lando Norris, who's...
he's in Daytona right now.
He's in Daytona down for the roar alongside some guy named Fernando. I don't know. I think that's who it was.
Fernando Alonso, a rookie. I hope he does okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, exactly, Cameron, that's the kind of... that's the kind of thing you expect. You know, these guys, when they get through with this, I think it's a fantastic thing to have on your resume too, because of the success of the predecessors through this series.
Yeah, well, certainly. I mean, the amount of experience I'm sure those guys got from this series really pushed them through that year. But from what I've heard, it's not just experience that helps them with that season of gear, but it's experience that helps them through their entire career. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what I gain from it.
Well, talk about the rest of the year for you, 2018, what your expectations are. And after that, I want to ask you even longer term than that, but talk about 2018.
Yeah, so I'm really excited to announce that I'm actually going to be doing Euro Formula with Carlin in 2018. I've had experience with Carlin. Last year, I ran with them in British F3, so they're a great team of people. And they're really committed to my development, which is what a driver really wants from a team. And of course, they have quick cars as well, which is always handy. I want to go for the championship, and I think I'm in the right place to do that. And I've been putting in the effort, and certainly this Toyota Racing Series is going to help me with that. And long term, I'm looking towards Formula One. And if I do well in Euro Formula, then I'm looking at following the FIA's ladder through FIA F3 and then perhaps FIA Formula 2 after that.
Just to jump back to the British F3, Trevor Carlin has a big history of finding drivers such as Cameron here and really propelling them into a serious career way beyond where they are today. And so I know Jonathan and I were speaking to him at Indy a couple years ago, and some of the names that he threw out, you know, before long, we knew who the names were. And, you know, I totally expect that he's going to be able to do the same thing for you.
Yeah, I mean, he took me on right when I started driving race cars. And back then, you know, I was probably 4 or 5 seconds a lap quicker than I used to be back then. And, you know, he still took me under his wing and devoted his time and his engineer's time to developing me. And I think I've come a long way since then. And I'm sure he's going to do the same over the next few years.
Yeah, it's you know, those guys at Carlin obviously are one of the best racing organizations in the world, and you got to be excited about being a part of that and learning with those guys. And I mean, because there's top to bottom, an organization like that is going to be super professional and the best of the best in all the positions. So it's got to be exciting for you. But I tell you what, Cameron, it's really fantastic to hear an American. A young 17-year-old American driver aspiring to Formula One, because, you know, we love having the track here in Austin, and now with Liberty Media behind Formula One and Haas F1 in Formula One, it's just great to hear that. And how much of what I just said, Austin, Haas, all that, has that played into your desire to move to Formula One?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I think Formula One hasn't been so big in America over the last decade or so, but it's really starting to become popular, and I'm starting to hear, you know, people who aren't even actually interested in racing start to talk about Formula One because they're hearing it with the influx in media that Liberty is spreading around, and it's becoming certainly bigger in this country, and I think that means it's the perfect time for an American to come to the sport. So it really couldn't have come at a better time that I started to do this.
Well, Cameron Doss, we are excited to have you back on the show again, and love it that you're down there in Toyota and in New Zealand for the Toyota Racing Series. I think it's
waving the Yankee flag.
Yeah,
keep it up, buddy.
That's right, waving the American flag. Best of luck to you, and of course, we're going to be following you all season and your whole career. So we'll talk to you soon, buddy.
Thank you very much for having me again.
All right, talk to you soon.
I love it. Yeah. I love it, and you know, like I said, over the years, we've seen a lot of the Europeans go down for that racing series because it's their off season. It's, you know, it's summer in New Zealand, and it's great that the Americans are really gravitating that direction. Connor Daly went down and checked it out, and now we've got Cameron down there. So we got Jonathan there. He'll keep a pulse on it for
us. Yeah, and we're going to get Jonathan on here in a minute. But hey, speaking of Connor Daly, he and Alexander Rossi were doing...
Not Dances with Stars.
No,
it was the Amazing Race.
That's what
they're still on.
Well, I was kind of afraid to watch it because Connor Daly didn't really do all that well in the American Warrior. No, the Ninja Warrior thing.
Okay, yeah.
But you know,
he had a little struggle on the Amazing Race.
He's a bigger guy. You know, those Ninja Warrior guys all look like the body fat
spaghetti.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, but apparently Alec Rossi and them, I've got it DVR'd. I haven't watched it yet.
They did all right. They did all right. There was some jousting between those two guys, and Alexander teasing Connor about sleeping on Alexander's couch now. But, you know, truth be told, I think it was actually the other way around for a while before IndyCars.
All right. Well, we're going to go and take a break. When we come back, we're going to go out to Jeremy Shaw. He's out at Daytona for the Roar, and we're going to get his take. Jeremy's a great guy. His background in motorsports goes way back as a commentator, as a facilitator. So we're going to get Jeremy
coach
on here.
And mentor.
Yep. Right after this short break. Listen to Speed City live in 2018 from Austin, Texas. Back after these messages.
MV Agusta motorcycles are the epitome of Italian style, precisely crafted with a passion for two-wheel art on wheels. Ducati Austin are the only MV Agusta and Ducati factory authorized technicians in Austin, servicing all European brands. Check the Brutale Sport Naked, the most extreme essential naked bike ever. Or the Turismo Veloce 800, the first revolutionary tourer to be built by MV Agusta. Or if you want a pedigree steeped in racing, then look no further than the World Supersport winning triple F3, 675 and 800. or go all out for the ultimate legendary F4 Envy Agusta. Italian style with Texas soul. Trade-in, consignments welcome, and financing available. To Caddy Austin and the home of Envy Agusta at 818 Breaker Lane, just east of I-35. Precision Camera and Video is the largest camera store in Texas with over 10,000 square feet and packed with all the latest manufacturer offerings. Founded in 1976 and still owned and operated by its founders Jerry and Rosemary Sullivan, Precision Camera is committed to the finest customer experience. With hand-picked products and on-hand experts, you won't find a more helpful, knowledgeable and accommodating sales staff for quality service. Come see for yourself, Precision Camera and Video, 2438 West Anderson Lane.
Mosing Motor Cars is Texas's only authorized dealer for Superformance products. Superformance's Mark III is the only Cobra replica built under license from Carroll Shelby. There's no finer example of a Cobra around. Mosing and Superformance is your supplier for all the great race cars of history. The GT40, the Mark III Cobra, the Corvette Grand Sport, and the Shelby Cobra Daytona Coupe. Mosing Motor Cars, 2420 West Breaker Lane, online at mosingmotorcars.com. Superformance and Mosing Motor Cars. Drive yourself happy.
Dirtfish Rally School is the nation's most prestigious driving school, offering 7 days a week, year-round driver education from 15-year-olds with no driving experience to amateur racers and professional drivers. Our professional instructors never judge a student based on who they are, where they're from, or their driving background. We'll keep you and your family safe on the road, or better, at the racetrack. Feel confident behind the wheel, no matter the situation, no matter what you've done, or where you've done it, or how well you've done it. We'll make you better.
The right choice for breaking news first. Talk 1370. The right choice.
Hi, I'm Wayne Rainey, and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to Speed City, presented by Mosing Motor Cars.
Wayne Rainey bringing us back. Speaking of Wayne Rainey, we're not going to forget about our two-wheel audience here. We're going to have plenty of coverage of course, MotoGP and you know, Motor America and World Superbikes, all the rest as the
season
goes on.
I'm seriously anxious for MotoGP this year. You got, you know, the Panigale's coming out different. I'm just itching to get things fired up.
Yeah. Well, right now we're going to talk about Daytona, because the roar down at Daytona as they prep for the 24 hours coming up pretty quick. And we're going to have Jeremy Shaw on here in about 1 or 2 minutes. But before we bring Jeremy on, I want to play some clips from Fernando Alonso, who's down there.
Biggest story.
Yeah, the big story, of course, with Fernando Alonso, the Formula One amazing driver who's down at Daytona with McLaren. And these clips are from yesterday.
Friday and Saturday.
Yeah.
It's really interesting. I mean, because he's kind of doing the same thing again that he did for the 500 last year. And it's all new to him. It's a different view. It's a great thing that he's learning. He's talking about the view is different in these cars than anything he's driven. And it's a little daunting to him.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and play. Let's play this part one clip of the of Fernando Alonso down at the Roar in Daytona.
Yeah, it's more or less the same goal as Indianapolis. First of all, try to learn different driving techniques. Try to learn from the specialist of endurance races, and try to be a better driver when the 24 hours finish. You know, so that's the first aim. First time for me in an endurance race. First time in a prototype car. First time driving at night. First time driving with GT around, so many new things that will come, you know, step by step. So that's quite a big challenge, but I'm ready to enjoy it, first of all. And as it happened in Indianapolis, you know, if you feel the opportunity and if you feel competitive, you go for it. You know, there is always a competitive person inside of all of us here, drivers and teams. So as soon as you smell the blood, you go for it, you know, like the sharks.
Yeah, man, that's the first time he's had a couple of those first times. First time driving at night, first time driving with GT cars all around.
Right.
That's pretty cool.
The and to do this at night, you know, certainly they do the race overseas for F1, but it's a very different because you're going for so long. I mean, essentially what he's in is one stint is an F1 race, basically.
You know what? We got Jeremy Shaw on the line right now. Let's go ahead and bring Jeremy on right now. We've got that other clip from Alonzo. We'll keep it in the bank there and play it back here in a few minutes. But let's get Jeremy live from Daytona. Mr. Shaw, how are you, sir?
Wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you very much, guys. Good to hear from you both. And, yeah, it's been interesting down here. It's been mighty cold, but really interesting.
I know it. You know, about every other year, it turns out to be cold down there in Florida. Everybody's expecting it to be warm. But, yeah. Well, so what's the big story? I mean, I know Alonso is one of the big stories. What's going on down there?
Yeah, it's been a really great 3 days. It's, like I said, it was literally freezing pretty much on Friday, but it's warmed up gradually. Today was up in the 60s, so much more representative, I presume, for what we're going to get on race day. But it was fascinating. I mean, the field is huge. It's just stacked with quality drivers. You talk about Fernando Alonso, though, who obviously is a big story. But also interesting is the fact that he's sharing with two kids who have a combined age of the age of Fernando Alonso, which is 36. And two, you know, immensely, one in particular, immensely talented young man in Lando Norris, who's going to be moving up in the Formula One ranks before too long.
Yeah, we were just talking to Cameron Doss, who's down in New Zealand for the Toyota Racing Series. We just had him on right before you, and you know, we were talking about how Lando came through there, and you're right. I mean, exciting, talented guy to watch. It's going to be great, so... it's going to be fun to watch him in 3 weeks down at Daytona, much less the rest of his career. But what are the other stories down there at the Roar?
Well, I mean, there's 50 cars turned up. There's 20 prototypes this season, and the course is absolutely fantastic. There's 9 GTLM cars. There's whatever it is, 20 or 19 or whatever it is, GT Daytona cars. And, you know, and like I say, it's super competitive. It's in terms of the prototype ranks, the Cadillacs, once again, have got the legs on everybody, it would appear. They've got a new engine this season, or a revised engine. It's down from 6.2 litres to 5.5, but it's clearly a very, very effective tool. The four Cadillacs were at the front of the field in terms of the times. And they had a proper qualifying session today, which is going to be used to determine where each of the teams are located on the pit lane and also in the garages behind. So that was kind of interesting. So added a new element to the test session. And I think it means it also gave IMSA an opportunity to gather data from cars that if there's any sandbagging. Because, of course, this is the balance of performance series these days, and the cars, you know, they're very different cars and engine combinations, and they're trying to equate the performance so no one just runs away and hides like the Cadillacs did last year. And 1 year ago, the Cadillacs didn't show their full hand at the Roar before the 24 in the test session, and then when they got back to the race weekend, all of a sudden they're going 2.5 seconds a lap faster and making everybody else look pretty silly. Well, this time around, Cadillacs, I think we're pretty much showing their full hand, and they had pretty much a second on the field, or half a second on everybody else, even the slowest of them. So they're probably going to get pegged back a bit before the race weekend. But what's really interesting is you go back from fifth position, which is actually Dane Cameron in one of the Team Penske Acuras, the next 14 cars were covered by a second.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly.
That is competitive. That's amazing.
Hmm.
Well, I know that.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and you know, Cadillac. It was exciting for us. And you've seen a big, nice American brand like that doing so well. But man, they were dominant at last year and throughout the season. And it's going to be interesting. I'd like to know more about that engine reduction. You know, the 6.2 to 5.5. I mean, look, they could have trimmed off even more. That thing was obviously with plenty to spare with horsepower and torque and everything else. But I'd like to know more about that. But well, what about some? You know, what about Corvette? You know, I mean, they've kind of been a little off this year. I mean, the last few years, and how did they look this weekend?
Corvette in GTLM? No. They won the championship last year again, and you know, they had it was a fabulous season in GT Le Mans.
Oh yeah, you're right. Yeah, exactly.
Ford, Chevy, Ferrari, and BMW. and the Porsches, of course. And again, once again, they're all pretty closely matched this weekend. At the end of the qualifying session, the order was Ford, Chevy, Ford, Porsche. So three different manufacturers in top four, and they're covered by 0.2 seconds. And like I say, the qualifying session was interesting because it pretty much invited, you know, IMSA effectively invited and said, look, show us what you got. We're going to look at all the data. They've got some pretty sophisticated technology and people looking after the quality of the cars. And if teams are found to be not pulling their weight, so to speak, sandbagging, to use the term, they're going to get pulled in. And during the weekend here, three different teams were pulled into the pits during a session because they can monitor this data real time as the car's out on the racetrack and say, hey, you're taking the mickey here. You're coming up to the speed trap where the speed trap is, lifting off the throttle and then getting back on again. And so you're not showing your full weight. And they pulled three teams into the pits during this weekend, just to show they're serious about trying to make sure that people don't try and circumvent the rules. It's pretty interesting.
I would so love to be a fly on the wall for that. Well, Jeremy, what do they do about it on this weekend, for instance? We know what they can do once the season starts, but this weekend, what do? They just make it known?
They make it known. That's exactly right, Les. I mean, you know, they make the point. They call them into the pits, show them the data, and say, okay, what's that all about?
Yeah.
And I believe that the teams all went,
But Jeremy, I was getting a cramp in my leg.
Yeah, exactly. They tried to come up with a couple of excuses, but I am top them. And they parked the teams for the rest of those sessions.
Ooh.
So,
wow.
Yeah. So, word got around, and I happened to talk to a couple of technical people later on in the day, and various other. While I was talking to him, two other manufacturer people came up from the different passes and said, basically, hats off. You know, we're impressed with what you're trying to do here. Now, there's always going to be some wool people trying to pull the wool over people's eyes, but IMSA is certainly taking it seriously, and they're taking a good bite at trying to achieve what their goals are.
You know, this is, I always felt like that was a heck of a, it's a horrible job to be in charge of balance of performance, right?
Because you're never right.
Everybody hates you, but I always thought they did a pretty good job. But you know what, why not use as much technology? I love adding this qualifying session, but why not use, real-time data now is, it's getting easier and easier with technology, so why not use all this and be serious about it? And that way, you know, people are going to go, okay, I know this is the way it's going to be. If I mess up, I'm going to get caught.
And I think that's exactly what's happened. I mean, last year, Cadillacs qualified on the front row of the grid. Two Cadillacs on the front row. It might have been four Cadillacs on the front row, front two rows of the grid last year, if I remember rightly. And then in the final race of Petit Le Mans, because they pegged the cars back with various means, aerodynamic, gear selections, revs, all the way through the year. And when we got to Petit Le Mans at the end of the season, the two Action Express cars, which had qualified on the front row at Daytona, were on the back row of the prototype grid at Road Atlanta. And I think, well, I believe, I'm told at least, the Cadillac guy said, look, it was kind of a bit embarrassing. When you look at DPI, was a brand new category for last year.
Right.
Daytona Performance Prototype International was a new class last year. Cadillac came in super well prepared, clearly didn't show their hand at the Raw before the 24 test. Nissan, on the other hand, was literally brand new at the test, so they'd done no testing whatsoever. The cars were literally just being completed when they got them to the racetrack. And then the Mazdas, their chassis, the Multimatic Riley chassis, just wasn't on a par with the other chassis last year. So it was kind of a sort of a hollow victory for Cadillac, and then when they had to peg them back because clearly they were going a lot faster than they claimed they could go. It was a little bit embarrassing. It was almost a hollow victory, if you like. So I'm told that the Cadillac big brass has told the teams and the engine, the guys in charge of the engine, which is ECR, let's just do this, play by the rules. Let's let him do what they say they can do, i.e. match everybody's performance, and then may the best man win, rather than trying to cheat their way to the top. Who knows what's true and what isn't, but I do believe that they will peg back the Cadillacs a little bit for the first race of the season, and I hope it's going to be, you know, just provide some great competition for all of us who are there watching.
No, it's a good point, because every manufacturer out there can make all these cars way more powerful if they want to, so let's make sure that we're doing it right. But hey, Jeremy, have you got a couple of minutes to stick with us through a quick break?
Of course.
All right. Well, Jeremy's down in Daytona, so we're going to get some more information from him after this quick break. You're listening to Speed City. We're here in Austin, Texas, back for 2018, and we'll be back after these messages.
Precision Camera and Video is the largest camera store in Texas, with over 10,000 square feet and packed with all the latest manufacturer offerings. Founded in 1976 and still owned and operated by its founders Jerry and Rosemary Sullivan, Precision Camera is committed to the finest customer experience. With hand-picked products and on-hand experts, you won't find a more helpful, knowledgeable and accommodating sales staff for quality service. Come see for yourself. Precision Camera and Video, 2438 West Anderson Lane. The racetrack. It's where legends are born, where only the finest machines earn their reputation for innovation and dominance. Such are the nameplates you'll find at Aston Martin of Austin, Lotus of Austin, Bentley Austin, and Rolls-Royce Motorcars. Austin, exotic, iconic automobiles, whose racing heritage turns everyday driving into an inspiring journey, because you're never just along for the ride. Highway 183 north of McNeil Road. Dirtfish Rally School is the nation's most prestigious driving school, offering 7 days a week, year-round driver education from 15-year-olds with no driving experience to amateur racers and professional drivers. Our professional instructors never judge a student based on who they are, where they're from, or their driving background. We'll keep you and your family safe on the road, or better, at the racetrack. Feel confident behind the wheel, no matter the situation, no matter what you've done or where you've done it or how well you've done it. We'll make you better.
Hi, this is Jeff Gordon, and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to Speed City, presented by Mosing Motor Cars.
All right, we're going to go back to Jeremy Shaw here in just a second. Yeah. I wanted to talk a bit. Want to make sure everybody knows we're going to talk some Formula One here in a few minutes about some of the changes and some of the things to watch for in 2018. But what do you have, Les?
Well, I was going to say, you know, we've seen the likes of Lando Norris come from the lower Formula side to
Oliver Askew,
to TRS, you know, Toyota Racing Series. We just talked to Cameron, headed down there. I got to ask Jeremy, because he's always in the know. Jeremy, who do we watch next? Who's about to break out on the scene? He's speechless.
Or anything. I mean, I think it's a tough one. But certainly Lando Norris, the youngster who's actually going to be sharing the car, one of the United Autosports car with Fernando Alonso, he clearly is pretty exceptional as well. I mean, you know, Alonso made one of the quickest ever ascents to Formula One. He came out of karting with the world champion. He won a pretty good single-seater championship in his very first year of car racing. That was the Open Formula by Nissan, I think it was called back then. Yeah. He did one season of Formula 3000, and then he was in Formula 1. Well, this kid, Lando Norris, his first season of racing, he won Formula 4, effectively. Second year, he won TRS, like you guys were talking about, Toyota Racing Series in New Zealand. He won Formula Renault. And then this past season, he's won the European Formula 3 Championship. So he clearly
wow.
is on the
yeah.
fast track. Yeah, and you know, he's one of the test drivers for McLaren for this coming season. Reserve drivers, I guess, is what they call them these days. But yeah, clearly he's a bit of a star. Watch out for that young man.
Yeah, that's one that's absolutely been on the radar for the last a little bit here. So he's going to be fun to watch. But
And other kids. I mean, there's a young American actually called Neil Verhagen. Who is
I've heard the name
in Europe with some Red Bull support for he's maintained that for next year. He's going to be racing in Formula Renault. He's just 16 years old, and he's a pretty exciting talent as well.
Well, Jeremy, what else down at the Roar? I know we've talked about a bunch of it, but we could probably go on for hours about what all you've seen down there. But what other exciting things have you seen that caught your eye down in Daytona?
Look, there's so many stories down here. It's brilliant. And one of the interesting was the crowd yesterday, particularly on Saturday, was immense. I mean, there was hardly anywhere to park in the infield of Daytona. It was incredible. I'd never seen the Roar like that. I mean, there was almost a race day crowd there just for the testing.
Wow.
That was interesting. Some of the other stories on track, the new Acuras, the new Team Penske cars, they're going to be fast this season, I think. And what was really interesting, I had a very quick chat yesterday with Juan Pablo Montoya, talking to Formula One.
Yeah.
And what's cool about it is he is having so much fun. I mean, I've known Montoya for a long time, since he'd raced in Crack in the Barber series, I suppose. God knows how long ago that was. Way before he went off to F1, of course, and through his IndyCar career and what have you. And I've never seen him this relaxed. It's really fun. And he's excited because his kid is now racing successfully in go-karts. He was at Daytona last week watching after Sebastian. I think I believe one of the races at Daytona Speed Kart Week. That was kind of fun. But he's just loving driving these cars. Absolutely loving
them. Well, I those guys, when they move from Formula One, I think the pressure cooker after that, it seems the pressure cooker Formula One, everything after that seems a little more fun rather than so intense. It's got to be part of it. But hey, I got to ask you about.
But these cars, I mean, they've got really good performance in these cars. It's super competitive, all sorts of different manufacturers in there. And he loves the multi-class aspects of endurance racing as well. It's going to be fascinating to see him. And how he copes over a full season of it.
Well, speaking of veterans and the guys who've been racing for many, many years, Scott Pruett announced that this was his last Rolex 24. I don't know that it's coming up. I don't know how many he's won, but man, he's Mr. Daytona. And did you get to run into him this weekend?
I did. Yeah, he's won five or six, I think.
Yeah,
one of the two. Not telling anyone's won more than he has. He's actually tied with Andy Lally, if I remember rightly. But no, I mean, God, what an ambassador for the sport he has been for all these years. He's still enthusiastic as ever. He hasn't lost much in pace either, and he's still super competitive. But again, he's realised that time marches on, and that he's more than mid-50s now. It's time to hand over to some of the younger guys. But he's still going to be around. He's going to be a great mentor for Lexus. So he told me he's re-signed with them to be an ambassador for them. He's going to be doing various commercials and all sorts of other things as well. So he won't be lost to the sport, but what a great guy he has been for this sport over the years. He's driven just about everything. He's won in just about everything, and just a great character as well.
Yeah, one of those great guys in motorsports. He's been on the show a bunch.
Yeah, how many watches does a guy need?
Well, there you go.
Well, wait, I shouldn't say that myself. Sorry.
Yeah, he's got three Rolexes on each arm. So yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Jeremy, I really appreciate you coming on the show. I hope you had fun down there, and of course, we'll be following you all season and seeing. I guess if you want to see who's the next up and coming, Jeremy Shaw is the guy to follow, and he's always guiding those young American racers towards Speed City, so we can have them on the air. But Jeremy, thanks a lot, appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
My pleasure, guys. Thanks so much. Have a great season. I'm looking forward to it. Call me anytime.
All right. Absolutely. Happy New Year, buddy.
Yep, Jeremy Shaw. You can follow him online. His Twitter is Jeremy Shaw Racer, so check him out. He's actually pretty active on Twitter.
But he's right. We didn't get the opportunity to speak to him about the scholarship that he helps administrate, but it is an awesome program for up-and-coming drivers to get on the radar and to get them the exposure. Really works out cool, and it's, like I said, he is the guy for knowing who's coming up. That's why I asked that question about the American.
Yep.
We will have to check in to Neil Verhagen and see what's going on in his life.
Him. That's teamusascholarship.org. That's Jeremy's, the organization he's been such a part of and such a key part of for a long time. But hey, I think I want to go ahead and take a quick break a little early, and we'll have a long segment at the end because we're going to talk some Formula One, and we're also going to get Jonathan Green to give us a quick call between airline flights on his way out to the Toyota Racing Series. And we'll get him to talk about, because he can tell us every minute detail about that series And we'll ask him what kind of tricks he's going to play on Cameron Doss as a rookie down there at the Toyota Racing Series. All right, so we'll be back after some quick messages. You're listening to Speed City live in Austin, Texas.
Precision Camera and Video is the largest camera store in Texas with over 10,000 square feet and packed with all the latest manufacturer offerings. Founded in 1976 and still owned and operated by its founders Jerry and Rosemary Sullivan, Precision Camera is committed to the finest customer experience. With hand-picked products and on-hand experts, you won't find a more helpful, knowledgeable, and accommodating sales staff for quality service. Come see for yourself, Precision Camera and Video, 2438 West Anderson Lane. MV Agusta motorcycles are the epitome of Italian style, precisely crafted with a passion for two-wheel art on wheels. Ducati Austin are the only MV Agusta and Ducati factory authorized technicians in Austin, servicing all European brands. Check the Brutale Sport Naked, the most extreme essential naked bike ever. Or the Turismo Veloce 800, the first revolutionary tourer to be built by MV Agusta. Or if you want a pedigree steeped in racing, then look no further than the World Supersport winning triple F3, 675 and 800. Or go all out for the ultimate legendary F4 MV Agusta. Italian style with Texas soul. Trade-in, consignments welcome and financing available. Ducati Austin and the home of MV Agusta at 818 Breaker Lane, just east of I-35.
Mosing Motor Cars is Central Texas's source for classic performance cars. British, German, Italian, Japanese, and American. Ready for that special car you've always dreamed of? Mosing has you covered. Looking to sell a classic? Let Mosing handle all the details and get that special vehicle in the hands of the right buyer. Visit the showroom at 2420 West Breaker Lane or call 512-821-9491 or browse the garage online at mosingmotorcars.com. Mosing Motor Cars. Drive yourself happy.
Talk 1370. The right choice.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hi, this is Jay Leno from JayLenosGarage.com, and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to Speed City, presented by Mosing Motor Cars.
Thank you. Our producer just played that little clip from Mr. Jonathan Green. Oh, man, I haven't looked at that video of the crash that he was caught. That I think it was up to like 4 million views or something where he's screaming, oh, no, mayhem, at the Macau Grand Prix down there.
Yeah,
but speaking of Mr. Jonathan Green, we got him live from the airport in California. Mr. Green, how's it going, buddy?
I'm good, man. Tell Casey he's a star.
That was Dylan.
That
was Dylan, the producer.
Oh, that was Dylan, was it?
Yeah.
Well, Happy New Year, buddy.
Thank you, sir. Happy New Year to you, and a Happy New Year to you all. I never thought I'd be on the same billing as Jay Leno. That was pretty fun.
Well, I know you're on your way to New Zealand for the Toyota Racing Series. You know, we just had Cameron Doss on, and... I know it's you've been doing this for so long, Jonathan, and it's one of those series that a lot of people, it may be under the radar a little bit, but it's a really important series, isn't it?
Yeah, it's massive, and it's become more and more important as the years have gone on. And I think, it just seems to grow every year. It started off a decade ago as a sort of junior New Zealand series, and it's run by Toyota New Zealand. And basically, Brendan Hartley was the first winner of the first race, so it gives you an idea of, how long it's been, but what kind of talent has come out of New Zealand. And, of course, that includes Mitch Evans, who went on to GP2, obviously Earl Bamber. So it's proved to be what New Zealand set out to do, which was create a championship for their young drivers. And Chris Amon was, in fact, the great 60s driver. Chris Amon and Formula One driver was the sort of patron of it for many years. But what's come out of it is now that because they invited all the foreigners over, as they have done for many years. But for now, it's become a testing bed, as you mentioned to Cameron, because it's so intense 5 weeks. So it's become the place to be in the winter to get time on track. And now we've got, like this year, we've got an Academy Ferrari driver in Marcus Armstrong. He's actually a Kiwi, but he's already been successful in Europe, and he's coming back. Richard Bashaw, who also is a Red Bull Junior, he's coming back for a second year. And while we had a lot of fun making fun of his name last year, it's dead serious for Richard this year because he needs to win this championship. He's going to stay with Red Bull. You mentioned Neil Nahagan is another Red Bull guy. So, you know, it really is. On one hand, it's a lot of fun. On the other hand, it's pretty intense.
Yeah, that's right, and that's great. I love the fact that they set out to do this, and they've achieved the goals, you know, spot on, no doubt. And a lot, and you know, we've had several people that have come and tried that, and realized that it was a lot trickier and a lot more difficult than they thought it might be. We had some. Who was that last year that
Connor went down at one point? I think that was last year.
And yeah,
Connor Daigle.
Will Owen basically struggled a lot when he went down there, but now he's having a huge blossoming in sports car racing and is going from strength to strength. So that's one good example, you know?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking of. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Well, Jonathan, man, we are so excited about 2018. We've got, as usual, we got you on the road covering the fantastic series that's Toyota Racing Series and a few other things, but Formula One, we're looking forward to that. And I was just telling Lester and right as we came out the last break that I'm looking forward to MotoGP and, of course, all the other two wheels. We get, you know, Moto America, of course, moving right along in their plans, kind of like what you were just saying with Toyota Racing Center. They've got a very specific plan and moving on along those lines. And, I mean, 2018, I mean, any thoughts from you on 2018, Jonathan?
Yeah, I think this is going to be a serious motor racing year in many ways because there's so much going on. You mentioned Formula One. I think it's going to be really interesting in Formula One because, you know, there's been a lot more balance now with McLaren getting away from Honda, yet Honda actually coming to a point where they might give Brendan Hartley something that is actually genuinely competitive. So the story throughout Formula One, Vettel's got to bounce back because he had really a horrible year last year, when you think about it. He blew the championship. And Hamilton was kind of out-handed, really. And Hamilton's got to be on his game again because they are going to catch Mercedes. It's not a matter of when. It's not a matter of if. It's a matter of when. But the other exciting side for me is the other side of the pond, which is the Indy car series. I think that's going to be a breakout year for them. When I say breakout year, it was huge this year with Fernando. But I also think that put the world's attention and the international attention on Indy again. We've got seven Brits and the British team in Carlin Motorsport who are doing their first full season having dominated Indy Lights with the likes of Ed Jones and Max Chilton. And they've got Charlie Kimball and Max Chilton to do a full IndyCar series. So that's exciting. Got a bunch of Brits coming over to kind of do the same thing as Fernando for the 500. Jack Harvey with SiriusXM sponsorship is going to be good at the 500, and it's got an extended series. Remember, he was on the show before Christmas. So there's a lot of really good stories, and of course the poster boy, absolutely the man we have from Sonoma, Joseph Newgarden, who I think will also have a massive fight against Scott Dixon. So that tells you everything you know about my excitement, and of course I'll be letting you know about Toyota because I think we're going to find a star out of there too.
Yep. Well, Jonathan, I'm going to let you run, buddy. I know you got to catch your next flight, and we're really excited to be. I mean, obviously, you're going to be calling in from New Zealand to give us lots of updates from what's going on down there during that.
I'm chasing DAS for you boys.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, you gotta do some initiation to play some tricks on him. Send him to the.
I will. Oh, you know I will.
All right, Jonathan. All right, thanks, buddy.
All right, boys.
Travel safe.
All right, we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, bud.
Bye.
Yeah, I'm anxious to see what that comes out, how Cameron does down there this year. That'll be a great.
Yeah, it's going to be fun to watch an American down in the Toyota Racing Series. But
you know, we before the holidays, we were going through all the changes of Formula One for 2018. And there's one in particular one I thought was really sneaky cool that we didn't get to the list.
I like where you're going. I like sneaky cool.
And the sneaky cool thing that is not allowed in 2018 is it's part of the steering linkage.
Yeah.
But what is so cool about it and sneaky is based on your steering, your turning
radius. This was allowed last year, but not this year?
It, it not, you know, it's racing rules. It wasn't necessarily allowed, but it wasn't prohibited.
Right.
This year it's prohibited. And so, you know, what was so cool is based on your turning radius, your car might be a little bit lower using this old link that was in the suspension. And yeah. So it's real interesting.
What did they call that? It was
Variable suspension height is the result of it.
Okay. Well, yeah, exactly.
You know, and so, you know, really interesting the way that played out. And anyway, they caught it. You know, there were a few folks using it. And that is one of the things that you will not be able to do anymore. It, you know, they have proof that I believe it was Ferrari and Red Bull were both using it.
Yeah.
And it's just a very small link up in the front suspension connected to the upright. It just allows the height to vary a little bit, reducing the amount of air under the car, improving the stability of it when you're in a turn.
Yeah, when you're in a turn.
And
yeah.
So, you know, you remember the old 48 Tucker sedan that had the steerable headlight?
That's what I
think of is something a little more high tech than that. But turn it hard and the car squats down a little closer to the ground.
I think we need to bust out the welder and try that on your car and we'll see how it works out. And if it works, we'll do it to mine.
Yeah.
Hey, I want to talk about some of the things in 2018 to watch for in F1. What do we got? About 77 days, I think.
Too many.
Until Australia. But, you know, obviously the big thing is, can Ferrari catch Mercedes and you know, and win? Obviously this year, or this past year, they did. They were pretty amazingly competitive with Ferrari leading the championship for a while. But can they win it? Can they take it from Mercedes? You know, it's been an incredible run by Mercedes and Lewis Hamilton and Nico Rosberg and everybody and the whole team. But can we do that in 2018? Obviously, that's going to be one of the big stories to watch. And you know, what do you, you know, I have a couple more in my head. Are there any that are you going to be watching in 2018 for Formula One?
Okay. So you guys got to go in and take a behind the scenes engineering tour.
Yes.
I got to ask, you know,
with the Mercedes team. Yes.
Yeah. I want to now get into somebody else's garage and see if they're splitting apart the turbo units. There is so much benefit from that, you know, the transient heat or that comes through and all that. I just can't imagine that that's not being done. And I actually found a statement somewhere that was done on some old industrial trucks.
Oh, really?
Way back when.
Somebody stole the idea from 60 years ago? Or
yeah, and that somebody brought it back for the kind of the same use. So I'm curious about that.
Now, that's a good one, too. But from a high-level point of view, I'm thinking about, like, some of the big stories, like, you know, is Honda going to be good for Toro Rosso, for example? And what about McLaren with Renault power this year? I mean, these are going to be really, really interesting stories to watch with all the politics and everything else behind it, and all the drivers screaming and yelling and Alonso and everybody else.
I was going to say, I don't think we've mentioned Alonso's name in this break, but I will now.
Yeah.
Renault and McLaren, that just seems odd to me in that combination, knowing that McLaren and Honda are cousins anyway. But you know what? I hope it brings back a situation that Alonso can truly be competitive. Because to be honest, I don't feel like he competed last year and it wasn't his fault. And, you know, the few times he actually was side by side with somebody, he showed his skill and talent, but he just didn't have the oomph behind it to keep up.
Yeah. Yep, it's true. What else? What about? I'm going to ask you this question just to get your opinion. Red Bull, who's going to come out on top in the Red Bull? Because you got, I mean, obviously Max Verstappen is the hot young talent and the most. I mean, a lot of people are saying this guy's going to be as good as anybody ever or close to that anyway. And of course, Ricardo, who's been phenomenal, who's obviously probably one of the most likable character in Formula One, if not the most popular, maybe behind Lewis Hamilton with his success.
Absolutely.
But what about those two? Who do you think is going
to... Absolutely. Well, you know, I mean, I always enjoy talking to Ricardo in the paddocks.
He's a blast. By the way, in person, and going back, this goes back years ago, he is exactly as nice as he comes off. I mean, he's fantastic.
Oh, the before he was actually on the Red Bull team, meeting and talking to him here, it was
when
really cool.
First time we saw him in like 12 or 13, he was just this super nice kid and still is the same.
I'm going to, you know, as much as I would like to see Ricardo ahead because of that personality, because of his fun approach to so many things, the shoey and doing all these kind of things, I would, I'm going to have to go with Max on sheer dependability. The guy is consistently there.
It's funny you use that word with him, considering his luck with cars last year.
You know, but he's got that determination and, you know, youthful exuberance and the wild side still with him. And I think if he can manage to keep out of, you know, his teammate or anybody else's.
Well, and also keep in a reliable car. I mean, that was the big thing for Max this last year, too, is not having a reliable car. And speaking of that, I wonder how good Red Bull can do if they do keep reliable and... you know, I don't. Who knows?
I want to see
great if they could come.
I want to see everybody draw up by the Mercedes boys.
Yep, absolutely. What else? What are some of the big stories? I mean, one of the big visual ones is going to be the Halo. I say visual and safety.
Sure.
I mean, obviously, F1's been so safe for these last few years, but obviously, safer is better.
That's going to take some adjustment, absolutely. And you know, I just don't know what that's going to be like. You know, I'm waiting to see how they each place it. You know, it actually does go back through the cockpit for its attachment points, and so it's not something real simple. It's going to require some serious engineering, which obviously they're already doing by now, but I am just hoping it is as successful as possible, and I hope somebody comes up with a better design that looks better.
Yeah, and you know, what about the driver visibility? That's going to be really interesting to see how in Australia. I'm really going to be anxious to see those post-race interviews, how the drivers talk about the visibility of this Halo, well, and see how it affects them.
You got to imagine in their simulators, they're already practicing with it.
Yeah.
So before long, I mean, you know, I think it's just going to be invisible to them before long.
Yep. Let's see. What are the other big things that are going to be changing? One good one is, of course, we're about out of time, but the last one I want to say is Kimi. You know, is he gonna stay at Ferrari? You know, is he gonna do enough? I mean, you expect him to. How old is Kimi Räikkönen now? I mean, he's getting up there, probably what, 37,
somewhere around
like that.
There.
But anyway, that's another one that I want to keep an eye on. But we're just about out of time. Any other 2018 Ferrari? I mean, F1 Ferrari, Formula One topics and changes you want to talk about, Les?
You know, I just think. I hate for them to tailor a rule to impede or help anybody, but I want to see Mercedes pulled back into the pack and not be so predictable.
Yeah, so dominant.
Kimi's 38.
So you're recommending balance of power, a balance of performance?
Oh,
in
gosh, I do not like that.
All right, guys, well, we're going to go ahead and wrap it up. We of course, are looking forward to this 2018 season. We've got some things we're going to be adding to the show this year. Hopefully.
Seriously, yeah.
Yeah, some seriously fun stuff. And so stick with us throughout the season. Check us out at speedcitybroadcast.com and follow us on social media. And we will talk to you live next week.
Ciao, y'all.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
When it comes to lighting, Graybar goes beyond parts and products. We help contractors turn plans into smart designs, manage kitting and deliverables, and navigate local codes so you can stay on time and on budget. Smart, scalable, job site ready. That's not just lighting. That's like kicking your project into Graybar mode. Yep, Graybar does that.